कुंजा बिहारी हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य अष्टोत्तर सच्ची श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिविदान स्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की ताई गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 12 चैप्टर 2 द सिम्टम्स ऑफ कलियुग टेक्स्ट नंबर 5। अनाढ्यत्तैव साधुत्वे अनाढ्यत्तैव साधुत्वे साधुत्वे दम्भ एव तु साधुत्वे दम्भ एव तु स्वीकार एव चोद्वाहे स्वीकार एव चोद्वाहे स्नानम् एव प्रसादनम्। अनाढ्यत्तैव साधुत्वे साधुत्वे दम्भ एव तु स्वीकार एव चोद्वाहे स्नानम् एव प्रसादनम्। अनाढ्यत्तैव साधुत्वे साधुत्वे दम्भ एव तु स्वीकार एव चोद्वाहे स्नानम् एव प्रसादनम्। अनाढ्यत्तैव साधुत्वे साधुत्वे दम्भ एव तु स्वीकार एव चोद्वाहे स्नानमेव प्रसादनम्। प्रसादनम् अनाढ्यत्तैव साधुत्वे साधुत्वे दम्भ एव तु स्वीकार एव चोद्वाहे स्नानम् एव प्रसादनम्। अनाढ्यत्तैव साधुत्वे साधुत्वे दम्भ एव तु स्वीकार एव चोद्वाहे स्नानम् एव प्रसादनम्। अनाढ्यता पवर्टी एव सिंपली असाधुत्वे in one's being unholy, sadhutve in virtue or success, dambaha hypocrisy, eva alone, tu and, svikaraha verbal acceptance, eva alone, cha and udvahe in marriage, snanam bathing with water, eva alone, prasadhanam cleaning and decorating of the body. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: a person will be judged unholy if he does not have money, and hypocrisy will be accepted as virtue. Marriage will be arranged simply by verbal agreement, and a person will think he is fit to appear in public if he has merely taken a bath. You know, one of the heaviest purport I've read. Purport: the word dambha indicates a self-righteous hypocrite, someone not so much concerned with being saintly as with appearing saintly. In the age of Kali, there is a rather large number of self-righteous, hypocritical, religious fanatics claiming to have the only way, the only truth, the only light. In many Muslim countries, this mentality has resulted in brutal repression of religious freedom and thus destroyed the opportunity for enlightened spiritual dialectic. Fortunately, in much of the Western world, there is a system of free religious expression. Even in the West, however, self-righteous hypocrites consider sincere and saintly followers of other disciplines to be heathens and devils. Western religious fanatics are usually addicted to many bad habits, such as smoking, drinking, sex, gambling, and animal slaughter. Although the followers of Krishna consciousness movement strictly avoid illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and animal killing, and although they dedicate their lives to the constant glorification of God, self-righteous hypocrites claim that such strict austerity and devotion to God are tricks of the devil. Thus, the sinful are promoted as religious and the saintly are decried as demonic. This pathetic incapacity to grasp the most rudimentary criteria of spirituality is a prominent symptom of Kali Yuga. In this age, the institution of marriage will degenerate. Indeed, already a marriage certificate is sometimes cynically rejected as a mere piece of paper. Forgetting the spiritual purpose of marriage and misunderstanding sex to be the goal of family life, lusty men and women directly engage in sexual affairs without the troublesome formalities and responsibilities of a legal relationship. Such foolish argue that sex is natural. But if sex is natural, pregnancy and childbirth are equally natural. And for the child, it is certainly natural to be raised by a loving father and mother. And in fact, to have the same father and mother throughout his life. Psychologically, students confirm that a child needs to be cared by both his father and his mother. And thus, it is obviously natural for sex to be accompanied by permanent marriage arrangement. Hypocritical people justify unrestricted sex by saying it's natural. But to avoid the natural consequence of sex, pregnancy, they use contraceptives, which certainly do not grow on trees. Indeed, contraceptives are not at all natural. Thus, hypocrisy and foolishness abound in the age of Kali. The verse concludes by saying that people will neglect to ornament their bodies properly in the present age. A human being should decorate his body with various religious ornaments. Vaishnavas mark their bodies with tilak, blessed with the holy name of God. But in the age of Kali, religious and even material formalities are thoughtlessly discarded. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guraha Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanivitamscha Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषये नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानाम पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सर्वशास्त्राब्धि पीयूषः सर्ववैदैक सत्फल सर्वसिद्धांत रत्नाढ्य सर्वलोकैक दृक्पद सर्वभागवत प्राण श्रीमद्भागवत प्रभो कलिध्वान्तोदितादित्य श्रीकृष्ण परिवर्तित परमानंद पाठाय प्रेम वर्षक्षराय ते सर्वदा सर्वसेव्याय श्रीकृष्णाय नमोस्तुते मदेकबंधो मत्संगी मन्गुरो मन्महाधना मदनिस्तारक मदभाग्य मदानंदो नमोस्तुते असाधु साधुतादाय नतिनिच्चिच्चो तारक हनुमुंच कदाचिन मां प्रेम्नरित कंठयो स्फुरः हरे कृष्ण सो वंस इन अ स्कूल The teacher tells the students to write autobiography of, you know, their own findings, you know, to introspect and to write autobiography. And then one of them is told to speak it out in front of everybody else. So my condition is something similar. This verse is so heavy and you know, how much ever you want to hide, but it's a fact that Krishna and the scriptures, they never fail to show you the mirror. So there are many things mentioned here. Anadhyatyaiva sadhutve. A person will be judged unholy if he does not have money. If somebody is not rich, if somebody is not to a particular standard, he will be considered unholy. To see it from a perspective of Krishna, just as anadhyatyaiva sadhutve, you know, so it doesn't matter for Krishna who the sadhu is, who is the holy person, a rich person or a poor person. In Kali Yuga, it's mentioned here that symptoms will be such that somebody who does not have money, who is not of a higher class, will not be considered holy, will not be considered worth imparting knowledge. So here, you know, it's a very dangerous thing where it can really divide the entire society into such rebellious groups where because of fanaticism, a particular religious cult favors only the rich. So here we see Krishna loves not only the rich but the poor. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when the Mahaprakash Lila happens, that is the time when Shrimad Mahaprabhu calls out for Sridhar Kolavacha. And everybody is wondering, who is Sridhar Kolavacha? Nobody had even heard about him. And how, and then the poor condition of Sridhar Kolavacha is mentioned. And he was so poor that nobody knew him. Not that he was considered unholy, but with whatever he had, he used to offer the half for the seva of Mother Ganga. and whole night was chanting the holy names of Krishna. We also hear about Tukaram Maharaj, who was the saint of Maharashtra, where although being very simple and almost penniless, although coming from a well-to-do family, but a sudden famine turns the entire family, you know, poor. And he is considered to be a very, very, you know, outcast by the so-called hypocrites, the hypocrite religionists of that time. Because he was not good at smart work, he was not earning. So like that we have many examples where, although they are coming from a poor background, but Krishna always accepted their devotion. Now, coming to the second part, you know, which is the very, very horrifying part, where sadhutve dambha evatu. Here the translation mentions in virtue or success, which means that for any activity, hypocrisy is considered to be the prime character which somebody has to achieve. Like, you know, we see how when Prahlad Maharaj is sent to the school of Shanda and Amarka, he's told how to be a hypocrite, how to cheat. And that is the, you know, today's education, where how to trick somebody, how to fool somebody is what is, you know, taught. So here we will speak more about sadhutve. We see that Kardam Muni, when he asked Prishnigarbha a boon, and he said, you know, that although I know that it is a material desire, but I definitely look for a like-minded partner, and where Lord becomes very pleased for his honesty. You know, in the verse, in the first canto, Tadvag Visargo Janataga Viplavo Yasmin Patishlokam Avadyavatyapi. Over there, Prabhupada mentions how sadhutve is who is thoroughly honest. So here we see how Swayambhuva Manu, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead has come, he is honest and is asking. And after he asks, when he is approached, you know, by Swayambhuva Manu, Swayambhuva Manu, looking at Kardamuni, although he is, does not have any possessions, but still is ready to get his daughter married. You know, the consideration of money and wealth is not there. You know, I would like to, this Tadvag Visargo has a very beautiful purport. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of transcendental glories, of the name, form and pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation. Full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Sadhutve. It is a qualification of the great thinkers to pick up the best even from the worst. It is said that the intelligent man should pick up nectar from a stock of poison, should accept gold even from the filthy place, and should accept a good and qualified wife even from an obscure family, and should accept a good lesson even from a man or from a teacher who comes from the untouchables. These are some of the ethical instructions for everyone in every place without exception. But a saint is far above the level of an ordinary man. He is always absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord, because by broadcasting the holy name and fame of Supreme Lord, the polluted atmosphere of world will change. And as a result of propagating the transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, people will become sane in their transactions. While preparing this commentation on this particular stanza of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have a crisis before us. Our neighboring friend China has attacked, this is purport, the border of India with a militaristic spirit. We have practically no business in the political field, yet we see that previously there were both China and India, and they both lived peacefully for centuries without ill feeling. The reason is that they lived those days in an atmosphere of God consciousness. And every country over the surface of the world was God-fearing, pure-hearted, and simple. And there was no question of political diplomacy. There is no cause of quarrel between the two countries, China and India, over land, which is not very suitable for habitation. And certainly there is no cause for fighting on this issue. But due to the age of quarrel Kali, which we have discussed, there is always a chance of quarrel on slight provocation. This is due to the issue in question. But to the polluted atmosphere of this age, systematically there is a propaganda by a section of people to stop glorification of the name and fame of Supreme Lord. Therefore, there is a great need for disseminating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. Today is a day and time where, you know, just as the 18th chapter mentions, adharmam dharmam iti ya mannate tamasavrita sarvarthan viparitamsha buddhi saparta tamasi. You know, whatever is dharma will be considered as adharma. That understanding which considers irreligion to be religion and religion to be irreligion under the spell of illusion and darkness and strives always in the wrong direction, O Partha, is in the mode of ignorance. Dhruva Maharaj, he also prays to the Lord with great honesty and says that, O Lord, please give me an honest path. I don't want shortcuts. I want to work hard. You know, we normally want shortcuts, we normally want smart moves. But here Dhruva Maharaj is saying that let me pave my way in a hard way. Let me work hard for it. Let it be a path of honesty. Then also we see in 7th canto, we see about Narad Muni mentioning to Vyasadev about how he was born as a son of a maid servant and how he got elevated to the birth of Narada Muni. But then in 7th canto, he does not, you know, honesty is where you open up everything. You don't hide, you know, you don't hide anything. So here, Narada Muni in 7th canto is mentioning to Yudhishthira Maharaj that how he was a Gandharva, Upabharana. And how he was cursed because of his bad behavior. So, honesty is not just talking about your, modest behavior, but also of what exactly you went through. He also spoke about the curse. Srimad Bhagavatam again and again mentions this quality of nirvilikam, that is, freedom from pretension. So here, as Swayambhu Manu approaches in Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahmaji for service and asks for, you know, whatever according to my nature and my capacity, I would like to serve. So here Brahmaji becomes very happy that, you know, without hesitation, without any resistance, you have offered yourself, which is very, very pleasing. Now, we see Hiranyakashipu, he performed so much tapasya. But then, the demigods come and tell Brahmaji, you know, he is doing tapasya because he wants to take your position. He wants to dethrone you. So when Brahmaji goes to meet Hiranyakashipu as he is doing tapasya, and he falls on the ground, you know, with crocodile tears in his eyes. And there, we see how he has such duplicitous nature. So, coming to the next point, where the institution of marriage, the main purpose of marriage is to beget children and to pass on the legacy of culture and dynasty to the next generation. And you know, this is a very beautiful article by Govind Prabhu, where he talks about how you show gratitude. You know, the institution of marriage was not primarily sense gratification, but primarily gratitude towards the dynasty, so that the legacy can continue and you can continue their teachings. Then we see this, how for marriage, the main aim was to give away to dissolve the Pitri Rana by doing proper Shraddha and begetting children. We see in the case of Abhimanyu and Uttara, where Abhimanyu was excited to go for, you know, the war, and Virat was excited to give Uttara to Arjuna. But Arjuna said, she's my disciple. She's like a daughter. So here the choice was to give Uttara to Arjuna, Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu is excited for marriage, and Uttara is excited for, sorry, Abhimanyu is excited for war, and Uttara is excited for marriage. But although they knew that, you know, when the war happens, whether the warrior will come back or not, we're not sure. And such a young age. But still, the marriage happened. If enjoyment was in Abhimanyu's mind, he wouldn't have gone for the war. And contributing for dharma was the primary goal for marriage. You know, by Uttara, her main motto was to do that, because of which she knew husband was going for war, but still she got married to him. So such is the amazing institution of marriage. Also, there is a beautiful instructions, or the beautiful glories of grihasthashram given by Kardam Muni. Diti and Kashyap, right? Yeah, Kashyap Muni. So when Diti approaches Kashyap Muni, and that is the time Kashyap Muni gives this beautiful instruction. Now he tells how you are my, how you are my support. As one crosses over the ocean with sea-going vessels, one can cross the dangerous situation of material ocean by living with a wife. O respectful one, a wife is so helpful that she is called the better half of a man's body because of her sharing in all auspicious activities. A man can move without anxiety, entrusting all responsibilities to his wife. As a fort commander very easily conquers invading plunderers, by taking shelter of a wife, one can conquer the senses which are unconquerable in other social orders. So here, such nicely, Kashyap Muni is glorifying how one should conduct themselves in grihasthashram. I was just thinking, from the devotee's point of view, it is not that we will not be touched by these problems of Kali Yuga, where, such hypocritical behavior will not come into us. So when we talk about these, it's easy to point out to others, but the remaining three fingers are facing towards us. So we have to be very, very careful while pointing out anybody else. Now, last part, which talks about, how simply by taking a bath, simply by taking bath, one can appear in public, just as I have taken a bath and I'm sitting here. So one has to be decorated by a beautiful qualities, Murkopi shubhate tavat sabhayam vastra veshyata tavat chashobate murko yavat kinchina bhashase. Saying that a fool is not recognized in the assembly of, sadhus until unless he speaks up. So, as he speaks, you understand what his status is. He could be very well dressed. He could be very well, you know, ornamented. But the real ornament for a devotee is the kind speech, humility at heart, honesty of intentions. And until unless we have these ornaments, it is very difficult to actually penetrate the message of Godhead. So here, you know, in this beautiful example of marriage, where just, you know, just as the purport mentions the verbal agreement, you know, just by verbal agreement the marriage will happen. You know, the rituals and samskaras are not done. So we will want to discuss two instances where Krishna very beautifully arranged for a transcendental marriage. You know, today is Haryali Tej. You know, we have a green dress today, where everything is green, because the whole Vrindavan is full of greenery. It is said that today is the day when Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati, they reunited after she performed 108 years of tapasya. So it is, you know, celebrated by, in the, especially in the northern region of India, where they decorate themselves and perform vratas. So especially in Vrindavan, all the temples, you know, are decorated with beautiful, especially in the Banki Bihari temple, there is a sandalwood jhula. You know, the main jhula starts today, where the whole jhula is covered by silver and real gold ornaments. So, and till Balram Jayanti, the jhula continues very nicely. So, in the Bhandir one, there is a beautiful instance of Shri Radha Krishna's marriage. It is said that they had a very beautiful Gandharva marriage where nobody was present. You know, like one, I remember we were doing this darshan of Gopichand Vallabhji and we were doing this leela of marriage. So I was, you know, very much excited. You know, we'll have all the demigods, you know, we'll create the small mannequins of demigods. But then, as the book mentioned, I also called up devotees. They said, Koi nahi tha, sirf Brahmaji. It's only Brahmaji and Radha Krishna. If you go to Bhandirvan, there is a beautiful deity of Radha Bhandir Bihari, you know, where Lord Krishna is actually, you know, putting the vermilion in the center part of Mother Radharani. So here, a very beautiful transcendental marriage, a Gandharva marriage, where everything was done, but in a very, very private setting. Also, in a very beautiful way, in South India, you know, just like, this is a Sri Vaishnava story, you know, I was asking, so he said, yeah, our Sri Chaitanya was telling me, you know, what is the difference? Sri Vaishnava and we are Sri Ji Vaishnava. We follow Srimati Radharani. So here is a beautiful story of Peri Alvar, where he is considered to be a great Alvar. Peri Alvar is a great Alvar. He comes in front of the Lord and praises Him with different beautiful prayers. And after, as he is chanting the prayers, he prays for the protection of the Lord. So as he is praying for the protection of the Lord, Nam Pranamal, Bhumi Devi and Shri Devi are there. So Bhumi Devi feels, this is such an amazing devotee. I've never seen a devotee like this, who everybody prays for their own protection. But here is a devotee who is paying for the protection of the Lord. So I would definitely want to become the daughter of this great devotee. So, you know, today is tomorrow. Tomorrow is the auspicious appearance of Andal in Sri Velipattur. As Peri Alvar was doing his, you know, gardening, he used to make beautiful garland for the temple nearby for Lord Vishnu. And today's that the festival is called as Tiruvadipuram, where the appearance of Andal is celebrated. So she was found under a Tulsi Vrindavan. You know, she was just found there. The Lord, Periyarvar had prayed to the Lord, you know, I don't have any progeny. So the Lord gave a beautiful daughter. And as the daughter grew up, he was so addicted to her, that he used to take her so much care that every now and then he used to just describe the glories of the Supreme Lord to her. And she was only interested in hearing the beautiful glories of Lord Krishna. And then it is said that she was taken by him to different Divya Deshams. And when they came to Vrindavan, that is where she said, you know, Father, if I want to get married, I want to get married only Krishna. You know, he has stolen my heart. So, what is the way to get married to him? So, Vishnu Chittar, also called as Periyarvar, he told the daughter that, you know, the gopis in Vrindavan, they did the Katyayini Vrata. So, if you want to get Krishna, you can also do the Vrata. So then, she instituted this beautiful Vrata in the Dhanurmas, where, you know, it is very well celebrated till today. Her beautiful poems, her 30 Parshurams called as Tirupavai, due to her different prayers, her different you know, yearnings to meet Krishna are mentioned in that. I remember, you know, during our South India Yatra, we had gone to Ranganath Temple, and there, in a, it's called as Ranga Vilasa Mandap. Over there, a beautiful arrangement was done, you know. That was where, from where, you know, we got the first idea of, you know, arranging a Leela like that. So here, as Andal grew up in teens, whatever garland was being offered to, you know, Vatapatra Shaya Vishnu, Andal started wearing that garland in the mood of a gopi, and she started looking how the garland will look beautiful on the Lord into a particular pond, a particular well. And then she used to pass it on to the father. One day when the father saw that there is a strand of hair in that, he became very angry. He never became angry on her, but this time, you know, when she desecrated the service, so he was very much angry, and he, you know, reprimanded her, how can you do like that? And he made another garland and offered it to the Lord. The Lord appeared in the dream and said, you know, I want that garland only, which she has worn. And please make sure that she, whatever garlands she makes, I would like to have the same garland. Then, a beautiful, you know, event arranged. Lord Ranganath appeared. You know, he used to always tell her for marriage, you know, Vishnu Chittar used to tell, you know, Bhashan, no, I'll get married only to Sri Ranganath. It is considered that Lord Ranganath, Sri Parashar Bhatta, used to say that the Moolavara deity of Ranganath, who is lying, is Krishna, and the Utsavara deity, Namparama, is Ramachandra. He said that whenever he used to go to the altar, he could smell, you know, he could have the fragrance of butter. So, one night, Lord Ranganath appeared in Vishnu Chittar's dream, and said that Andal be sent to him for a wedding ceremony. Simultaneously, the Lord appeared to the priests and said that, you know, arrange for this Kalyan Mandap, you know, Kalyana Utsav, where I will get married to Andal. So, you know, it was a very heavy thing for Vishnu Chittar, because he'll be separated from the daughter, but somehow or other, decorating her nicely, he arranged for a palanquin to go from Shivaliputra, which is in Madurai, to Srirangam. And as the palanquin arrived in Srirangam, Andal could not, you know, she was also called as Godai. Andal could not wait to meet the Lord, and she jumped out of the palanquin and she ran in the Sanctum Sanctorium, and she embraced Lord Ranganath, and as she embraced, she disappeared. So it is said that, you know, she had also prayed to Lord Sundar Bahu, who is considered to be the Lord of Dacoits. So, you know, she said that you fulfill everybody's desire. Why don't you fulfill my desire also? I want to have Ranganath, Lord Ranganath as my husband. So the desire was fulfilled. But she has said that if you fulfill my desire, I will offer you this beautiful payasam, which is called as I forget it here. So 1,000 gallons of payasam I'll offer you. So, but she went back to Godhead. She went to Vaikuntha. So, you know, it was not offered. When Ramanuja came to know that, you know, she had promised this to Sundar Bahu, so he said, she has forgotten, but we will fulfill it. So he arranged for this payasam to be offered to Sundar Bahu. And as he was offering, there is a deity of Andal there. And it is said that a sister's desire is always fulfilled by her brother. So it is actually said that she actually came in front of the altar and she said, you know, she called out to Ramanuja as Anna. And she called him as a brother. So that's why, you know, Ramanacharya, there's another name to him. He's called as Godagraja. And she is called as Ramanuja Sahodari, you know, the sister of Ramanuja. And till today, from Shivelputur, a garland which is offered to Mother Andal goes to all the way to Tirupati for the Garudotsav. You know, there is a beautiful palanquin utsav, which is considered to be the main, you know, people die for that darshan. You know, it is during the Brahmotsavam, which comes during the Navaratri. And he comes in different vahans, and Garuda vahan is the considered to be, you know, the most beneficial darshan, where, you know, if you take darshan of Garuda vahan, you know, it's your back to Godhead is, you know, confirmed. So that is the time when that garland is taken. There are two altars in Ranganath temple. One is inside the main, you know, inside, just outside the altar, and one is just, you know, on the precincts where Ramanacharya's, no, where the deity of Raman, where the body of Ramanacharya still exists. Then once Periyalvar, you know, he was so much in separation from his daughter, so he came to Ranganath and said, "Oh, please, you know, it is, you know, it's been long time that I've seen my daughter and you. Is it possible to come, you know, come to, you know, the Maika?" So it is said that the Lord confirmed, "You go, we will come." And the Lord, flying on Garuda, reaches Shivalipatur before Vishnu Chittar. And still today there is a deity there, which is Ranganath, is called as Rangannar, which is, you know, the son-in-law of Vishnu Chittar. So there is a, the altar is Andal, Vishnu, Ranganath and Garudaji. So there is a beautiful altar there. So, you know, this is the beautiful. Also, she composed two main Tamil compositions. One is Tiruppave and one is Tirumoli, which is a kind of a love letter. And it has exact 143 verses. You know, so 143 in shorthand language also means I love you. You know, one, love is L-O-V-E, four and three. So it is a beautiful love letter she writes for, you know, getting the glance of Lord Krishna. And till date, she is considered to be the most famous saint, one of the Alvars, saint who had depicted beautiful love for Lord Krishna, so much so that she could not wait to meet the Lord. So, you know, I would like to end the class by a brief prayer. You know, very much, you know, everything happens for a purpose, and I think the description of this purport was to again reconfirm the sad state anybody will have if they give in to the vices of Kali Yuga. So our prayer to Shri Radha Gopinath, that, you know, just as here is mentioned, you know, how if you get married, then there is a responsibility. So similarly, you know, we are all, you know, into the preaching mission. So not only we preach, not just teach, but preach and take responsibility to take care of people. No, normally we feel, you know, okay, no, once we speak to somebody, we preach them, and then the whole other community will take care. But it's a, you know, investment, and the investment continues to be constant. You have to go on doing it. So we pray that we stand at least a little sincere in the efforts to please the Lord and Srila Prabhupada. Ganataraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari. Huh?